Praise God, you may be seated. Tonight is our last series on fasting and prayer. And from next week onwards, we're going to touch on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And especially we pray for those of you who are in the ministry, and towards the end of the next series of teaching, which is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, see, our desire is to stir up the gifts in your life, and as much as possible to go into detail of how the gifts operate and how they function, because God has given His gifts in the body. All of you pastors who are called to the ministry of God, God has anointed you, and His gift is upon your life. And our desire is to stir up the gifts in your life, that in this series of meetings, after those teachings, we desire that you would be able to flow together in the gifts of the Spirit, even in this meeting, and even to minister together with all of us here. That's our desire. And so let's look first and conclude on the series in prayer. At the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Tonight we want to see three reasons why sometimes a prayer is either unanswered or delayed. So we look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We have the story of Zacharias. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, story of Zacharias. We see here in verse 5, Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.'" Elizabeth and Zacharias were very old. The Bible says here, they were well advanced in years. That's a very polite way of saying they were very old. Sometimes the Bible is very, very polite. At another time in the book of Acts 15, it says, "And there was no small dispute." That's a very polite way of saying they had a big fight. Now it tells us here in Luke chapter 1 that they were well advanced in years, and apparently they had been praying. They had been praying for a child. There's no answer at all. And so the angel appeared and said, your prayers are heard. So that tells me that they have been praying. Possibly they could be about 70, 60, 70, or 80 years old. Well, let's say average, Zechariah possibly go about in his 70. And the Greek word well advanced in years implies that Elizabeth had reached her menopause, so it must be very well advanced in years. And in those days, they married very young. So let's plus and minus and give an average. Let's say they married about 20. Round figure, easier to count. So Zechariah, let's say he married, and in those days, they were not like us in our modern days today. And I think in our days today, it's very hard to practice Genesis 1, be fruitful and multiply. And today, it's in the first 2 years, usually people do not have children yet. They will wait and they will delay the child. But in those days, when they marry, one of the first things they want is a child. So you can be assured that when Zechariah first married Elizabeth, he did not delay. He was in a hurry to get a child. 1 year went by, nothing happened. 2nd year went by, nothing happened. Now they start being anxious. 3-4 years went by and see no child. Something is happening. And they started praying. I believe they started praying. From the time that they possibly got married, let's say around 20, they had started praying. Now, if by now they were on the average about 70, plus minus, can you imagine they could have been praying for 40 or 50 years? 40 or 50 years, they have been praying for a child. That beats some of us who are praying for other things. And can you imagine after all those years of praying to God for a child, praying to God for a child, somehow along the way, they may have given up, they may have forgotten, but God never forgets. So one day, this angel comes down. Now there's about 40, 50 years that passed by. This angel comes down, stands at the right side of the altar of incense, and says, Zechariah, your prayers are answered. Zechariah is standing there in our language, we say, Chwa. You know, he's scared. And wondering, hey, you know, what's he going to do? And he says, he must be wondering, what prayer? I mean, 40, 50 years ago, the angel was talking about his prayer. The angel said, the first words the angel said here, says, Zechariah, he calls him by his name. He said, do not be afraid. See, there's a natural fear of the supernatural since the fall of Adam. We need to overcome that. And have you always wondered why the angel always come and the first thing they say is, fear not, don't be afraid, fear not. Right? When God does something, don't be afraid. Because if the angel suddenly appears, and they don't say, fear not, the person will run away. There will be no person to give the message. So before they can run away, I mean, there is Zechariah. He is in the holy place. The other incense is in the holy place. So he's hidden by a veil. Nobody else saw the angel because he's hidden by the veil. He's a priest. He enters into the first veil and he was in the holy place serving at the altar of incense. And he was there. There was this angel that suddenly appeared. I mean, he got a shock of his life. If he could, he would run out. Ever saw a frightened priest? And so he was there and serving God, and this angel comes, says, your prayers are answered. And that's been a long, long time ago. Long time ago. Secondly, Zechariah's faith was not that perfected. And the angel said, now you're going to have a child. Zechariah was saying, we gave up long ago. Why now? You know, there are many people claiming the blessings of Abraham. Bless God. They say, I want all the blessings of Abraham. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Part of the blessing of Abraham is a child in your old age. So he used to say, Lord, I claim all the blessings by Abraham. I said that one. So here, he's old and he's saying, now you're going to have a child. Zechariah was saying, it's not possible. See, he figured out that there's no way. He knew that they had passed the time when conception can take place in the natural. And this was the reply of Zechariah in verse 18. Jesus, he said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old, an old man. He emphasized again. Lao lang. My wife also lao lang. Well, I want. Very polite. Something about this Bible is very, very polite. Well, once in years. See, Zechariah found it unbelievable. Here, we see that God has His perfect timing. Sometimes a prayer is not answered yet because there is a purpose. There is a season of God for answering certain prayers. If the answer comes too fast, the prophecy cannot be fulfilled. God has times and seasons reserved by Him. The child of Zechariah and Elizabeth was predestined to be called as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the child that was to fulfill this prophecy. So God has His special timing in order to bring about the answer to that prayer. Now, Zechariah's faith was not that perfected because he see no natural way it could happen. So it has to be a supernatural miracle. I'm sorry to say, men, the ladies beat Zechariah because the next occasion in Luke chapter 1, in verse 30, Luke chapter 1 verse 30, Gabriel, the angel, appeared to Mary about 6 months later and said, do not be afraid, Mary. Now, the angel also delivered an impossible event in the natural and says, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and talk about all the wonderful prophecies. And verse 34, Mary says, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel replied, saying, the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon her. And verse 38, her response was better than Zechariah. She said, be unto me according to your word. What a powerful response. And she had her miracle. But Zechariah didn't respond the same way. In Luke 1, he says, cannot. I'm old, she's old. For us, 1 plus 1 is 0. That's more than that. Says, cannot. There's no way we could do it. And the angel said, because you didn't believe, you cannot talk. Won't let you talk. Because if you talk, you spoil the miracle. So the angel of God says, the power of God is going to come on Zechariah, and he will be rendered speechless for some time. And we know that God doesn't cause death and dumbness. There are demon spirits that cause death and damnation, but not God. So I look at it this way. That what God did was that He put Zechariah's tongue under the power. So his tongue fell under the power. And he couldn't talk. And for nearly 9 months. Can you imagine everything happened within the curtain? Everybody was waiting outside wondering why it took so long. while the old man inside, Zechariah, was having a visitation from God, everybody outside was waiting. And he was extra long. So they had waited. Some of them waited very patiently. And they said, never mind, it's old man, so he does in slow motion. But after some time, the delay continued. They said, something wrong. Slowly they see him coming out. And his face was pale and white. They know from his features, something has happened. I'm sure they would have asked him, what happened? And he says, he cannot speak. He would have to tell them. And he said, you know, he saw an angel. That day when he went back to his wife sees him coming, she has prepared supper for him. Knocks on the door, but how are you, dear? What a fantastic day. The day God answered your prayer, what a fantastic day, he couldn't talk. Imagine when he first said, Zechariah, what happened to you? Same story. But he has to tell his wife. Maybe he wrote it down. But he says, the prayer has come. The timing has come for that prayer to be answered. So in certain things, there are the times and the seasons of God. We cannot hasten God's time and season for certain work that he has to fulfill prophecy. Prophecy. And if you notice that in the Bible, that there is another occasion when there was a delay in the answer. And that's also in Romans chapter 4, also about a child. Romans chapter 4, Abraham's child. Romans chapter 4. And it says here, that in Romans 4, some of the favorite scriptures that people have confessed in verse 18 and 19, talking about Father Abraham. Romans 4, 18 and 19. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it tells us something here, that Abraham also had a delay in his answer for a child. Now if we examine that story very carefully, in the book of Genesis, please, turn to the book of Genesis. If you notice, that Abraham, when he left the land of Ur, was in chapter 12, verse 4, he was 75 years old. So he was 75 years old when he left that land of his to go to the land that God told him to. He had a child when he was 100 years old. And we see that God, from that time forward, as he obeyed God, God started speaking to him about being a father of many nations. God slowly dealt with his wife, talked about how his seed shall be like the dust, his seed shall be like the stars in the sky, the promise of God for a child. God started dealing in his life and speaking to him, you shall be the father, you shall be a father of many nations, you shall be a father, God keeps speaking to him. And at first, you know, this is the first thing that happened. Abraham did not understand how God was going to fulfill the answer. See, just like some of us, when we are praying for something, we are fasting and praying, and we don't see how God is going to answer. And sometimes when it gets too long and delays, we have our way to answer it. We invent the answer. So in Genesis, in chapter 16, as many years have passed by, God has promised a child, God promised a child, God promised a child, and it still didn't take place. Time was precious because they were already 75 when he came out. So as he got nearer and nearer, and he passed his 80th birthday, Sarah got panicky. The years passed by, and one day, Sarah said in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, she says that she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So she said in verse 2, Abraham, I got a good idea. She says, since I am barren, notice, there was a barrier. What prevented the answer? Sarah was barren. Abraham had the ability to reproduce, as can be seen in Genesis chapter 16. So Sarah says, since the answer is not yet here, let's do this to get the answer. And he says, here is Hagar. And Abraham said, alright, go along. Let's be God. And he went along, and they got a bouncing baby boy. But it was not the one God wanted. He went into a 12-year silence. All Bible scholars know that he went into a 12-year silence period, called the silent years of Abraham. God never spoke to him at all. For 12 years, there was no word from God. Imagine seeing visions and revelation, and suddenly for 12 years, no more. Looks like God was angry. Looks like the heavens were brass. No word from God. See, God was not very pleased. Because they went in the flesh to get the answer. See, sometimes we can get in the flesh to try to answer our own prayers. It's not God's choice. 12 years later, because how do we know? Because Ishmael was 12. Chapter 17, verse 1. Abraham was 99 years old. Now when he was 99 years old, Abraham was no more capable of reproducing physically. Do you notice that in Romans 4 verse 17 and 18, it says there were two things. One was Sarah's deadness, the other was the deadness of Abraham's body. So we know that that verse cannot refer to the earlier portion, because Abraham still could reproduce in the natural. He proved that with Hagar. So in the earlier chapters, like chapter 16, Abraham's body was not dead yet. It was not Romans 4 verse 18 yet. His body was not dead. His body was capable of reproducing to Hagar in the natural. Time passed by. During that 12 years, Abraham's body became sterile. That's what Romans 4 verse 18 says. His body was dead, incapable of reproducing. Now it makes it harder for God to answer. Some of us, when we are waiting and waiting for the prayers to be answered, say, Lord, why does it take so long? And we are like Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. They say, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. See, they knew that he was the healer. Martha and Mary in John chapter 11, they know that Jesus was a healer. They say, if you were here, he would not have died. But they forgot. Nothing is impossible with God. The odds can be stacked against you even more because of the delay. Before, they needed one miracle, Sarah's barren womb. Now, when he was 99 years old, they needed two miracles. One for Sarah, one for himself. There has to be a working of God. It was even harder for God, but the harder the better. Because now when it's answered, you can only say, it's a miracle. Before it's answered, you could say, well, you know, these things will happen. So sometimes, when there's a delay in your answered prayer, remember this. As the delay progresses and the odds are stacked against you, be of good cheer. Take courage. The more the odds are stacked against you, and you may be complaining, Lord, if you had answered earlier, my brother would not have died. So what? Now he died, you get resurrection. Before he died, you got only healing. So when the odds are stacked against you, you are waiting and you're faithful in God, take heart. Because God is able to give a greater miracle. The more harder you make it for God, the bigger the miracle. You know, Elijah had a tendency in 1 Kings chapter 19 when he challenged all the false prophets in 1 Kings. When he confronted all the false prophets, the Bible tells us that all the false prophets were there, 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. It tells us how these false prophets were there. And it says, the God who answers by fire shall be the true God. So all these false prophets tried their best. And they tried to bring down the fire, they could not. When Elijah's son came, Elijah said, have you all prepared everything? He said, yes. Now pour water. You know, he didn't want it to be an accident. And after they pour water, he says, pour some more water. Until the whole altar was filled, drenched with water. He certainly made it hard for God. Why? Because if everything was dry, some smart ally would say, bushfire. Accident. A quirk of nature. That's what people try to explain away. And so in the same way, you know, just like they always try to explain, and you probably remember the story of those, the Red Sea that drowned Pharaoh. And somebody said, no, that's not really a sea, it's just a marshy place. 6 inches tall. They could walk through. See? So Moses don't have to part the Red Sea, they just walk through. Very clever. Pharaoh got drowned in 6 inches of water. Somebody said, you know, that the lions that Daniel was thrown into, those were old retired lions. That is why they didn't bite Daniel. See? All bogey. Very clever. Very clever to explain miracles away. And then, they forget that the Bible tells us after Daniel came out the next day, they threw all his accusers in. How come those bogey lions killed them? Gummed them to death. Came out of their retirement. I think that's a greater miracle. So people try to explain away a miracle with a natural thing. Now Elijah says, put more water, make it difficult. And I tell you, when the fire came down, even the water was gone. It had to be God, no accident. So don't be afraid when there's a delay. In some of the things you're praying for, do not lose heart. Do not lose faith. Hold on. If God says it, He will bring you through. There are far too many people who go around saying, God told me this, God told me that. But 3 years later, 4 years later, they are gone. What about what God said? See, we need people with stamina. The race that we run is a marathon race in God. There are all kinds of barriers. And when we hear from God, if God says it, then He will bring you through. But many times you have to be patient, holding on to His word, like Abraham, holding on. And finally, when he was old and advanced in years, his body was really gone. And God shows up. No? Someone will say, no, He's the last minute God. He's not the last minute God, He's on time, but we always are in a hurry. So we compare to Him, think He's last minute. No, He's always on time. There's no such thing as He's always the last minute God. There's no scripture for that. So this God shows up in Genesis chapter 17 and says, Abraham, when the years, Lord, it's time for the baby. By that time, Abraham also gave up like Zechariah. Say, God, if you want to answer, why don't you answer earlier? At least I'm okay, you know. You just have to do a miracle on Sarah. But now, Abraham, when he heard about the baby, look at Genesis chapter 17. God answered and spoke to him and says, He will establish His covenant with Abraham. And in verse 16, God says, I will bless Sarah, and she shall be a mother of many nations. Verse 17, Abraham says, ha, 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 ha. Maybe it was December 25th. Ho, 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 ho. So that was Abraham. And he laughed. I mean, what audacity. God told him. Imagine, as if God was cracking a joke. Suddenly, for 12 silent years, God suddenly show up, appeared, and said, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a baby. Best joke God ever cracked. He laughed. God is very merciful. Some people say, where's the God of mercy? There's the God of mercy there. Tell, if it was not God of mercy, God was zap, Abraham would be fried to charcoal. Abraham was laughing and God was very patiently dealing with him. And God says, no. You know, Abraham had a little bit unbelief in verse 17. He says, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? That is not faith talking. That is doubt talking. And then he says, shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Bless God. These are the blessings of Abraham. Some of you may want it. And then he tells us here, in verse 18, you know what Abraham said? God bless Ishmael. He's still thinking it was Ishmael. So what I'm bringing forth to you tonight is this. Romans 4 verse 18 only started when he was 99 years old. Now look at carefully at Romans 4 again. Right? Keep one finger on Genesis 17 and the other finger turn to Romans 4. And notice what Romans 4 tells us about Abraham. Verse 19, who, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God to unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now sometimes when we read Romans 4 verse 20, we think that for 25 years Abraham was doing that. He was not. If he was doing that, why is it that he laughed with unbelief when God told him? Don't you consider that unbelief? When God said, you're going to have a child, say, God, how can I 100 years old? That's not faith talking, that's doubt. And the Bible is showing a principle here. Before that, Before he was 99, Abraham was like us. Sometimes we believe. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we believe. Sometimes we doubt. You know? Sometimes we believe. And that was our life of faith. You know, we doubt and then we believe and then we doubt and then we believe. We do spiritual ice skating. Until finally, he was 99 years old, and suddenly the revelation got into his life. From that time onward, he never doubted. Bible says in Romans 4 verse 20, he never wavered for one more second. He hold on, and he hold on, and he hold on. Why are our prayers delayed? Now there are many reasons, right? One of them we have seen is the timing of God. But the other is God is building our lives and training us. See, there are two ways sometimes we receive healing, either by the anointing or by faith. We are usually more interested in our immediate relief, but God is interested in our life. So when God looks at us and determines and says, I choose that this child of mine would walk this path to victory, he knows what's good for us. And he knows as we are trained and as we walk the walk of faith, we fall at times, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he will not be cast down. You pull yourself up and you walk with God again. And you walk with God. The day comes and Romans 4 verse 20 comes. You never have any more doubt. From that day, that was the last time Abraham ever doubted. After that, Romans 4 verse 20 says, he never wavered. And within 1 year, the answer came. Within 1 year, see, during that 1 year, the answer came to Abraham. In chapter 17, see, during all those things that were taking place, a miracle started happening. Romans 4 verse 20 says that Sarah and Abraham were old. Not only old, well advanced in years. In other words, very, very, very old. Sterile, barren. You know, they're very old now. And God says, you're going to have a child. I mean, now he never wavered. But yes, Lord, I believe it, that settles it. Praise God. And he hold on. Then the miracle started working. He changed his name when he was 99 years old. Sometimes we got the impression he changed his name when he was younger. No. Confession was 1 year only. Before that, he was dealing with his vision. Seeing the stars. Seeing the dust as his children. But that 1 year settled it. The 24 years, there was struggle. Some of us are like that. Don't be discouraged. Though the answers are not coming through yet, God's mercy is dealing with our life. And there will come a time when you know the answer is just around the corner. When you reach your Genesis 17. And that was your last laugh of doubt that you ever laughed. And something sealed into your life, know that you have it in your spirit. There was a change of name in Abraham. And something began happening in his body. Sarah's body also start changing. Every time he changed, he's like, Sarah, no more Sarai. Because now it's princess, mother of many nations. She also had to get used to changing. Very few people change their IC name at 99. In 99 want to change their name. You understand it, it's young men. Now old men want to change name. But he changed his name. And he has to tell, he got hundreds of servants. He has to tell his servants, from this day onward, I want you all to call me Abraham. Some of them. I think he has been too long in the sun. Sunstroke. His mind gone cuckoo. Screw gone loose. Going senile. That's why he do things like that. Now he claims that he's going to have a child. Special child, God says. He doesn't doubt even now, not like last time. He's changed. He is like Jesus, set to go to Jerusalem, neither turning left or right. Now he's set. He knows his answer. He's set. Everything. He's locked into that answer. And a miracle start taking place. Without realizing it, their bodies started being changed. The aging process started being reversed. By Genesis chapter 20, Genesis chapter 20, Abraham brought Sarah to Abimelech's place. Now, Sarah was 90 years old. When she was there, Abimelech saw Sarah and said, you normally don't do that to 90-year-old lady. It was King Abimelech. He saw Sarah, love at first sight. Let me just, something is happening to Sarah's body. Something is happening to Abraham's body. They never wavered until they received Isaac. And their laugh of doubt now becomes the laughter of faith. God can change your doubt into faith. So that's one reason for the delay in the answer of prayer that happens in our life. Timing and the doubt in our life that God has to deal with. If it's the timing, there's nothing you can do to rush it. But sometimes there's doubt in our life that makes us take the long way before we reach a steadiness to come. Noah Hayes, in his book on his family, he prayed for his daughter called Zona, Noah Hayes. He prayed for many years and it was not working. And he was still preaching the word until God dealt with his life. And God, and he asked God, God, why so long? And God said, you never practice what you preach. He said, what? Who, me? Yes. You practice faith for every area but your daughter. Says every time she comes, you confess wrongly over her, you spoke the wrong things. Say, oh. God says, I want you to do two things. Number one, I want you to love her unconditionally. Number two, I want you to speak the word over her life. No matter what you see with your eyes, no matter what is there, you must believe me. See, God was asking him to call himself Abraham. And he started calling. And every time his daughter would come back, she fell into the flesh. They did all kinds of obscene and immoral things. He comes in late at night and he would be there and he'd say, you're a proper child. You have been dedicated to God. You're a good child. And she just loved her, hold her and loved her and spoke the word of God. And for a period of time, live a year or so, he never said one wrong word. See, he had reached his Genesis 17. And one day, during that period of 1 year, when he never wavered anymore, see, God told him, you wavered. You wavered. You know what wavering is like? See, God wants to answer your prayer. And as you're praying, your prayer answer is coming here. So you're holding here, waiting here, you know, for God's answer, and you're expecting. Then doubt comes and you walk away. Then the answer coming here, the direction, but you walk here. And so God say, God, the angel say, oh no, you know, let's get it to him there. And the angel start working and bring the answers to you, you know, your doubt, and then you're waiting. You're waiting. And other time, no answer, go over there. And then the angel say, oh no. Then they went over this side. Can you imagine that you're running to and fro, you know, for 25 years? That's what doubt does. So the Lord told Noah, hey, this is because you doubted. Wavering. Wavering. Doubting all the time. And he says, you're right, Lord. From that day, he determined not to allow one second of doubt to be in his life. He began to believe God and took God at his word. And he started confessing the word. One day, his daughter came home. He heard a scream in her room. She ran down. One day, his daughter came home. He heard a scream in her room. She ran down because she saw an angel sitting on her bed. And she said, I'm going to get right with God now. Today, she's married and serving the Lord in a ministry. One of our associate pastors is now in Nowhere Hills Bible School. He operates a Bible school, and he has met her daughter, mighty woman of God, because somebody didn't give up on her. So why delays in prayer? Sometimes us, sometimes the timing of God. I remember when Jesus taught us to pray. Most of us are familiar with that prayer. Jesus says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's important for us to know that there's an order that Jesus is teaching in the Lord's Prayer. See, the second area that our prayers are not answered, according to the book of James, it tells us, we have not because we do not ask, and we ask, we do not have because we ask wrongly. God is not against supplying our daily bread. But some of us, our Lord's Prayer is like this. Our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And then write down the line, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. I think the Lord's Prayer is upside down. See, what we need to do is come to God and seek Him first. Seek His will and His kingdom first. See, it is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as done in heaven before it comes to our daily bread. And there is a woman in the Bible who one day learned to pray that way. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Reasons for unanswered prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1 is the story of the birth of Samuel. In chapter 1 verse 1 talks about a very sad family. Talks about Hannah. Talks about Elkanah was the husband. He had two wives in verse 2. Elkanah had two wives. One of them was Hannah in verse 2, and the other was Penina. Their names all rhyme. Elkanah, Hannah, Penina. But they were not in rhyme. In their home, there was fighting. See, the Bible tells us it is never God's will to have more than one wife. Some people try to be smart and say, King David has it. Abraham has it. Solomon had it 1,000. Say, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to do that also? Are you King Solomon? Hold it there. The Bible records people who have more than one wife, but it never records that it was God's will. In fact, every Bible incident where they have more than one wife, they had family quarrel. Every single one of them. That tells us that the Bible was trying to tell us that this is not God's perfect will. In the beginning, it was not there. God didn't make Adam, Eve, Rebecca, Rachel. No, God only made Adam and Eve. That's all, full stop. Neither was homosexuality there. God didn't make Adam and Steve. So it's not God's will. It's Adam and Eve. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Then, so here we have a situation where they have two wives and they were quarreling. One was barren, happened to be Hannah. She was barren, and the Bible tells us here that she cried her heart out. She's like some of us. Perhaps it's not about children, perhaps it's about some other area. Some of us have experienced unanswered prayer. We cry our hearts out. Oh, we weep till the tears run down like a river. Say, God, why? No answer. This was Hannah. The Bible tells us in verse 6 and 7. And a rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had allowed her womb to be closed. See, the word close is permissive tense. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Every year she would go, and it was a joyful feast. She would go there crying and weeping until her husband was exasperated with her. He said, am I not better than all many sons? And she, only God knew the pain and the grief in her heart. In those days, it was important to have a child. God knows the rejection that was in her life. And I know what she was crying every year. Every year, she cried for a child. Every year she poured her heart out. Year in, year out. Year in, year out. It was pathetic, but it consumed her mind. You know, we know what it is like. Sometimes when you desire something so much, it consumes your thought life. It consumes everything within you. It takes your time, day and night. But one of those years, something happened. She decided to stop asking in offense, but she decided to start giving. She decided to stop just trying to get from God. One of those years. See, she always cried for a son. Something was happening in her this year, that year in 1 Samuel chapter 1. See, she was praying like, oh, no, whatever they called God in those days, give me my daily bread. Give me my daily bread. Give me my child. Give me a child. I want a child more than anything, more than life. But one day, she prayed differently. She prayed differently. She came before God. This was her heart's cry in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She said in verse 11, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. See, it was still all right to ask for your daily bread, but this time her attitude was different. She said, I will give him to you, to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. 1 year she cried differently. She said, God, she was actually saying, God, I'm not going to ask just for me. I'm not going to ask for a child to serve you. Now she got her last prayer in a principle correct. She was saying, God, I wanted something for my own selfish gain and my need. Now she is saying, God, I want it for you. See, there are a lot of people out there asking for a lot of things. Money, finances, fame, everything for their own. That is why no answered prayer. One day her attitude changed. And she said, God, your kingdom, your will, your work. She began thinking about the Lord's ministry. She began thinking about the needs in the temple. And she said, God, and you know how a mother is, the mother's love. It's not easy to give up the child whom you have given birth to, whom you have nursed, to a place where you hardly see the child. Maybe once a year, that's all. But now, with her request is a surrendered heart. And she say, God, I want to ask for something for you. Now, a lot of us try to do that, but we are not sincere. In the depth, we are still selfish. God knows the heart, and He will search and test our heart. But if you are sincere, and you really mean it in your heart, and God will test you out, and search the depth of your heart, you have aligned yourself for an answer from God. See, God was waiting for that. He was waiting for thy kingdom come, thy will be done, before He gave the daily bread. Now Hannah asked that from God. And one day, in that 1 year, Elkanah must have been surprised. Because in that year, she stopped crying. That year was the first year she stopped crying. She wiped her tears and she went back, knowing that now God hears after all those years of crying. And true enough, that very year she gave birth and she received Samuel. And she kept the promise of the Lord. Now the Bible goes on to record that when she dedicated Samuel and she kept her vow, she received many other children. See, God will not shortchange you. When you give to God, He will always keep back. You can never outgive God. The more you think you sacrifice and give, the more He replenishes. Because God is a giver. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Powerful things happen when we begin to pray and seek God, God's will, and not our will. See, there are three realms of prayer. In Moses' tabernacle, there are three departments. There is the outer court. On the outer court, you have the brazen altar and the laver. Then there's a veil. And as you enter the first veil, there are three pieces of furniture. There is the candlestick on your left, the showbread on your right, and the altar of incense before the second veil. As you enter the second veil, there's only one piece of furniture called the ark. A lot of people's prayer are outer court prayer. Now there's nothing wrong with outer court prayer. Remember that. They have a place. Outer court prayer is, God, give me my daily bread. God, supply my needs. You see, the brazen altar and the laver, symbolize the supply of Jesus for our physical needs. And the vast majority of Christians' prayer requests is in the outer court. God, my job. God, my finances. God, my house. God, my car. God, my food. All are outer court prayers. Now, there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. It is priority. We need those things. God knows we need those things. You see, He included, give us this day our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. That's the outer court for us. But a lot of prayers are within there. I know, because generally we survey people's prayer requests. We have a prayer and an overnight prayer, and we have people write down requests. We have hundreds and hundreds. I got bags and bags and bags of them. Prayer requests. People send in prayer requests. We got bags of them. We don't share with people. We keep in private confidence, of course. But when we went over and prayed through each one of those requests, 95% of the requests are for physical needs. And I read through it, I wept and cried. I said, Lord, the body of Christ is concerned only for the outer man. Where are those great men and women of God who ask for spiritual things? Of course, it's understood. There are pains and there are cries physically. But if people only realize the truth, that when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when His kingdom come and His will is done, He will never forget your daily bread. A lot of our prayers are in the outer realm, all outer court. Some of us, we have progressed further. We have moved into the holy place. And our prayers are in the second realm. What type of prayers are they? You see, the candlestick represents the gifts and ministries of God. The table of showbread represents the authority of the believer. And all those things that are in Christ. That's not too bad. At least it's gone further. Now, those who have moved into the second realm, they are constantly praying, God, for your gifts, your ministry. Nothing wrong with that. We are not saying it's wrong. We are not saying it's wrong to ask for your physical needs either. We are saying perspective has been missed. The Bible does say, covet earnestly the best gifts. It has a place and a time. And there are those who have moved into it. They desire more than their physical needs. They want a ministry in God. God, your gifts. God, your ministry. God, we want your ministry. And God, we want the full inheritance in Christ. All that is in Christ. Everything we want. But there are very few who move into the highest rank of the Holy of Holies, where your desire is for God. For God. If you were given the opportunity by God and say, and God appeared to you or sent an angel to you and say, I'll give you what you want. What would you ask? Would your prayers be in the holy or holy, the holy place, or the outer court? There was a man named Solomon. One day, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the Lord said, that's in the book of Kings. The Lord said, ask what you will. Let's look at the book of 1 Kings. Oh, this is holy. Holy ground. First Kings chapter 3 in verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what shall I give you?" I mean, we could think of a million things at that time. A million things. Solomon said, "God, I ask for wisdom to govern your people." He was saying, "God, I want an impartation and ability to do your will." That was the meaning of what he was saying. And God was pleased. God was so pleased that God said, "You didn't ask for money, you didn't ask for power." And God says, "I'm going to still give them to you." See, he has moved into a higher realm of prayer. Very high realm. I had God only asked once when I was deep in prayer in one of my fasts. It was in the middle of the night, and I was still praying. I'm quite accustomed to pray 8-10 hours a day. I was praying, seeking God's face, praying and waiting on Him. And I sense the Spirit of God came into the room, and He asked one question. "What do you want from God?" A million things run through my mind. I could ask for soul. I could ask for the ministry of God. I could ask for millions of things. But God knows us before He asks us a question. Something was welling in my heart. And I say, "God, there's one thing I want very much. I want more of God. I want you. I know there are degrees of presence. God, I want you." The moment I said that, something exploded within me. And I felt the smile of God. And I felt His love just fill me and overflow. I have never felt so loved by God. And I knew I had asked the right thing. And God showed me and say, there are very few people who really want God and more of God. There are those who want this and that, gifts and ministry. Nothing wrong with them. They have a place. But if they take 95% of our lives, let me tell you, something is wrong with Christianity if that happens. Jesus didn't die on the cross of Calvary just to give us a new house. Thank God. Jesus came to bring us God. And may we hunger for God. And may it be the deepest and highest hunger of our life. Now, there are many people in the Bible who move into the third realm of prayer. They've gone beyond the outer court. They've gone beyond the holy place. They've moved into the most holy place where God dwells. Like Hannah. For years she cried and she had no answer. But when she moved into the holy place and said, "For you," the answer came immediately. Because God lives in the most holy place. Brethren, that is the most important thing in our life. In Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, sometimes people would come and go, some got healed, some didn't get healed. But it's the most important thing. Sometimes the people are so concerned for their need, their healing, their infirmity, that the power of God cannot flow. That is why an atmosphere of praise and worship is important, to get our minds off ourselves and on God. But most of the people heal for God, about themselves. I read one testimony of how, in one of our books on healing, a testimony, how there was a person who came with infirmity all over his body, who could hardly move. And when he looked across the congregation, he saw another child blind and worse than him. When he saw it, something reach out of himself, he stopped praying for himself and he started reaching out and he said, "God, this is worse than mine." When his heart reached out into God and began to learn to give and not get, suddenly he felt the healing power flow through him. See, sometimes it's our positioning in ourselves. Our palms are turned inward and they cannot receive. Our hands need to be turned outward to God and touch the rain of God's glory. There is a man named Moses in the Bible. He had met God, but one day the hunger was so much in his life that in the book of Exodus chapter 32, he says, "God, show me your glory." And God says, "I will, but you cannot see me, for your flesh cannot take it." And God said, "I will show you the back parts of my glory." When I started teaching this among those who were coming for prayer requests, we saw the prayer request slowly change. Slowly, from 95%, it went down to 40% for need. And I began to see more and more requests saying, "I pray that I'll be like God. I pray that I will have a revelation of God. I pray and request that I will have Jesus full in me. I pray that I will have the full manifestation of Jesus' love in my life." I began to see more of that. And I began to feel in my heart the smile of God, because He was pleased. And something started happening. Many of those people began to come back and say that their original request was answered. Their promotion came through. Their finances came through. Their needs came through. When something started happening in their heart, like Hannah, they began to come to God and say, "God, your kingdom come. Your will be done." And God is dealing with your heart and your life even tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. The Spirit of God is searching our hearts and our lives tonight. Where are you in your prayer life? Are you in the outer court? Are you in the holy place, or are you in the most holy place? God's desire is that we move into the most holy place. The veil has been removed, but many still choose to remain in the outer court. I tell you, the heart of God cries out in grief. Nothing that God does Nothing that God gives can be compared to God Himself. Father God, we pray that tonight You begin to unlock our lives. For there are many prayer requests that are standing before Your throne, that Your people are crying, Lord, when will the answer come? When will the answer come? And God, we pray that even tonight, as Your people begin to reach out to You, that like Hannah, they may have been crying year after year, year after year, cry out, tormented and rejected. Oh God, let this be the year that the deliverance comes. Work a work in the heart of Your people, oh God. And turn the hearts of Your people unto You, O God. That we would see that the most important thing in this life is not to possess things, but to possess God and to have Him in our life, O God. You know our heart. You know our life. You know our needs. Search us, O God. Spirit of the living God, we pray. You would come upon our hearts and our minds and search us. As we approach the new year, search us. Have we been selfish? Oh, how can we, when Jesus was so selfless? Search us, oh God. Are we truly Christians? Are we truly followers of Christ, who seek not our own, but who seek Your will? Oh, Father God, turn our hearts to You. Turn the hearts of Your people to You. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for our inward limitations. Oh God, let Your Spirit descend over each heart and each life right now. And remove all sin and all selfishness. Being a Christian, oh God, is dying to self and being selfless. Oh God, there's too much selfishness still in our lives. Cleanse us and forgive us, Lord. That we may truly be selfless like our Master and our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse us of our iniquity. Cleanse us from all that is displeasing in Your sight. Forgive us. And, O Father, set a new desire in our hearts and lives. Where the new and living way has been opened, by the precious blood of Jesus, that we may live and move out of the outer court into the holy place. But please, O God, we don't want to remain in the holy place. We thank you for your gift. We thank you for your ministry. We thank you for the inheritance in Christ. But oh God, we want to enter into the Holy of Holies. We want to die completely to self and enter the most holy place to see God and to know God and to worship Him all the days of our life. There's nothing more precious, O God. Nothing more precious. The heart of your people cry to you, O God. We want Jesus. We want the Spirit. And we want you, Father, more than anything else on this earth. We want you, O God. We want you in our hearts and our lives. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, Lord. Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet. You're standing on holy ground. I tell you, when you consecrate yourself to God, you desire only Jesus and Jesus alone. That's the most holy act and the most precious holy prayer you have ever prayed. We thank you. Take me into holy. Make that the prayer of your heart. Oh, make that the cry and the prayer of your heart tonight. Cold, but my lips, yeah.